We're turning in God's Word to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 12 as we come to consider the message for tonight, the Gospel of Luke, the 12th chapter, and we're going to read from verse 13. As you read with me tonight the Scriptures and you follow on, I want you to think about the subject that we're going to bring to your attention tonight, because the Lord Jesus relates a story here, and it is to do with temporal prosperity, but the other side is eternal catastrophe. And think upon that subject as we read these words together. Verse 13 of Luke chapter 12. "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Ending the reading at verse 21. I look at this story tonight and I'm compelled to recall the question that the Lord Jesus asked. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I read this story and I'm forced to ponder the rich man of Luke chapter 16. Our Saviour tells us of one who had accumulated quite a bit of this world's wealth, pleasure, prosperity and position. There's no doubt that he had friends, status, lived in a mansion, he had servants, he had money. He had the best of everything, but he died without hope and without God, and he was lost forever. I gaze into this passage that we've read tonight, and I call to mind the rich young ruler of Matthew chapter 19, who came to the Lord Jesus Christ seeking and searching for something that was so important. He wanted to know the way of everlasting life. And the story begins so well, for he comes running, showing that there was eagerness there. He comes kneeling, the Bible tells us. He had respect for the Lord Jesus. And he comes seeking. He desired the way of everlasting life. But the story ends in tragedy because he left the presence of Christ without that which he had come for. And by all account that is given to us in God's word, he too died without the Saviour and was lost forever. Here in Luke chapter 12, Jesus Christ sets before the hearers of his day a very powerful and pointed story of a rich farmer who prospered in this life. His land yielded a bumper harvest and he became a very, very wealthy man in a short space of time. He made enough money
to do him for, in his own account, for many years. He could have taken early retirement. Many an individual would envy his position. And as he thought of the future, he thought of the many years and all this prosperity, all this wealth that he had accumulated in a very short time. But there was a great problem with all this accumulation. He forgot about God. He set his heart upon riches, and he could see no further than his present prosperity. And so he decided to live it up. And he pushed God out of his life, but to his eternal cost. The very day that he prospered, the very day that he decided to make merry, the very day that he set his sights upon worldly enjoyment and merriment, was the very day that God said, "Your time is up." This man got a little taste of the world's wealth and fortune, but he was cut off from the land of the living, and he went to hell. The story is a challenging illustration of all those who live for the world and for self, for time and earthly things, and they forget about their souls until it's too late. This rich man represents sinners in this meeting who refuse to come to Jesus Christ that they might have life and salvation. Because there's something that's holding you back. There's some obstacle in your life. Something that you're putting before God. In this case, it was the wealth of the rich man. Remember, Jesus said, ask the question, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What profit is there in the world's wealth if you die without the Lord and are lost forever? What profit is there in the world's pleasures if you die without Christ and you go into a Christless eternity? What profit is there in the world's possessions or the world's friendships or the world's lusts and positions if you die without hope and without God? You see, my friends, there's nothing that is more important than the salvation of your soul. To know that it is well with my soul. That you have a saving, living, vital relationship with the Son of God. That you possess eternal life. It doesn't matter how wealthy you become. It doesn't matter how great your bank balance increases. It doesn't matter what worldly possessions and what carnal enjoyments you experience. It doesn't matter what positions you attain or what popularity and fame you achieve. If at the end of the journey you die in your sins without the Savior and you're lost forever. Well, surely there's a message for you here tonight in this story that the Lord Jesus related in his time. A message for every unconverted person gathered here. I want you to notice as you look at verse 16, the prosperity that he enjoyed. The Lord Jesus, relating this story, this parable, he says this, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." You read that verse of scripture, this sentence, and immediately you're going to say, here's a man who was blessed in a temporal way. He owned acres of fruitful fields that brought forth bountifully. He received an unbelievable crop that season. Many a farmer would be envious of such a yield. The crops this year have been sown. It's not long now before we come to the harvest time, September, October. We're living in a farming community here in Ballymoney, and the crop has been sown, and there's farmers that are longing to see a great harvest this year, and they're hoping in their heart that the land will do well. Every farmer, I'm sure, longs for such a blessing. As they do so, and maybe you tonight, you long for this kind of a blessing, never forget that prosperity, increase, wealth and riches are God-given. And in particular, fruitfulness at the time of the harvest is from heaven. One of the blessings that was promised to Israel, we find in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 23, was to do with was the land being blessed of God and the harvest being given. And here's what the Lord says to his people. Then shall he give the rain of thy seed, that thou shalt sow the ground withal, and bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures. Then shall he give. It's of the Lord. It is God that blesses the seed and the ground and gives the reaping time. We sing the hymn, we plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the ground or the land. But it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. And when this man's ground brought forth plentifully, it was God who had wrought this. It was God who did it. Well, did David recognize this when he said, both riches and honor come of thee? Isn't it true to say in this meeting tonight that God has prospered you? He has been good to you in so many ways, in a terrible sense. I was reading the Psalm 145 in verse 9 today, and it reminds us all that the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian in this meeting or not, whether you're saved or not. The Word of God is reminding us here that God is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all. And you can think tonight of all that he's given to you, and all the prosperity that you have enjoyed. You enjoy, most of you tonight, fairly good health. In him we live, we move, and we have our being. You know, so many around us, and some present with us tonight, have fallen seriously ill. But you know, the vast majority in this meeting still enjoy a measure of good health and strength. Health and strength that enables you to be out and about and here in this gospel service tonight. God is good. And we're still alive. We've still got breath in our bodies. And life is a gift of God. The years, the months, the weeks that we have here in the earth, it's a gift from the Lord to you and I, whether those years be short or long. Others have fallen around us, but we have been preserved. In our God is the breath of life. And there have been many accidents and tragedies and sudden calls into eternity. And yet every day, thus far, his hand of protection has been upon you and me. You know, that's a blessing. God is good to you. It's true to say that your needs have been supplied. Everyone here tonight has a home. Many of you have a job. You have food on the table. You've got many what we'll call nice things in this life. And if we have them, the Lord has permitted us, he has allowed us to have them. We've been blessed in this way. And you know, over and above the temporal blessings, the physical blessings that I've mentioned, you have the gospel. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful blessing to have? We've been listening to our sister tonight and the work that she and her husband and family are involved in the Czech Republic. And how dark that country is and how little of the gospel is known there. And yet here we are, most of you born in Northern Ireland. What a heritage we have in this little province of ours. Many of you with Christian friends and Christian family members who have been faithful as far as the gospel is concerned to your soul. They've told you about the Lord and they've sought to present to you Jesus Christ as he is freely offered in the gospel. And here in Ballymoney we have a gospel preaching church. These are things that we should not take for granted. Our sister spoke about a generation passing and the blessings of that country disappearing in a very short period of time. We should pray for our country that God in his mercy will be pleased to preserve the gospel and the preaching of his word. May God help us to stand up for him and declare ourselves as being on the side of Christ. Yes, my friends, what blessings we enjoy. You have the gospel.
And do you know another blessing God has given to you? Countless opportunities to get right with Him. We prayed earlier tonight about, or we spoke earlier today in the prayer meeting about the Holy Spirit given not only to the church, and what a ministry the Spirit of God exercises among God's people, but the Holy Spirit given to the world. Jesus said concerning the Comforter that when He has come, He will reprove or convince the world of righteousness, temperance, and judgment. And the Spirit of God has been given to the world of the ungodly to convince them of these things. And we thank God for His strivings and for His workings in the hearts and lives of so many. And the Spirit of God has spoken many times. And many of you have sensed His gracious calls. Never despise these things. You look at this story, you say, you will agree with me, here's a man who has been blessed by God. And as you make that statement and you think upon this, my friends, remember God has blessed you too. With all these things and much more that I could mention tonight, God has given to you these things. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. But there's something else that you ought to note here. Not only the prosperity that he enjoyed, but the carnality that he followed. Look at verse 17 through to verse 19. As we read these three verses together, I want you to think of how self-centered this man really was. Because repeatedly he uses the word I and the word my. I think in these three verses, 11 times, these two words are found. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I want you to try and understand what's happening in this man's life. He's obviously coming from a farming background, a man of agriculture. He has sown the crop, the harvest has come. God has blessed the land. And he has received this wonderful harvest at this particular season. More than he could ever have expected. God has blessed him in this temporal way. But my friends, I want you to see that instead of giving God the glory, his life is filled with self. And it's all about me. It's all about I. You know, the Bible teaches the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God has been good to you, not only physically and temporally, but even spiritually. It ought to lead you to evangelical repentance, bringing you to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not so this man. God allowed him to prosper, but God was not in all his thoughts. He didn't say when his land yielded in such a fashion, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. He didn't say, this is the Lord's doing, it's marvellous in my eyes. Nor did he purpose to give his tithe and his offering to God. No, he decided to live it up. And he says, they're mine. They're all mine. I'll put them into a great barn, and they're going to do me for many, many years. And then he speaks to himself, and he says, Saul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He presumed upon the goodness of God. He had no thought of the Lord. No thought about sin. No thought about repentance. No thought about his soul. No thought about salvation. No thought about death or eternity or the afterlife. No thought about heaven or hell. God is shut out of his life. I wonder tonight, are you still shutting God out of your life? Will you never learn? How have you reacted to the goodness of God? Is it leading you to repentance? What have you been doing with all the mercies that he has bestowed upon you?
Sadly, some of you are still living for self and you're shutting God out of your life. God has been good to you. There's no doubt about that. You ought to have come and not only acknowledged his goodness, but repented through it. You should have been drawn to the Lord, but no, you have decided to live it up in the carnal pursuits of this life and the fleeting pleasures of the world. And in truth, you're just like this man, the carnality that he followed. I want you to notice, thirdly and finally tonight, the tragedy he encountered. Verse 20. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. You cannot presume upon the goodness of God. I often think of those words recorded in James chapter 4. James was speaking about businessmen who had purpose to accumulate, who had purpose to go into such and such a city. You know the reference there. James chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be in the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. These businessmen were presuming upon God's goodness. We're going to go into that city, we're going to buy, and we're going to sell. Not just for a few days, a week, or a month, but we're going to continue there, they presumed, a whole year. A whole year. We're going to get gain. They never thought that anything might intrude upon their lives that would prevent that. They may never reach that city. If they did get to the city, trade might not be what they thought it might be, and they would not get gain. Or ill health might overtake them and prevent them from doing business. Oh, death itself might come, because we don't know what tomorrow has in store. No, instead of presuming upon God's goodness, as we make our plans for the future, James says we ought to say, we will do this, we will do that, if God will. If it's God's will, we'll be able to carry out our plans and our arrangements. Observe the conclusion of this story. Remember, God is speaking in his word. He's giving the verdict. He is pronouncing the sentence. He is executing justice. God calls this man a fool. Only a fool takes heavenly blessings for granted. Only a fool decides to live for self in the world. Only a fool neglects his soul. Only a fool ignores the mercy of God. Only a fool refuses to consider matters of death and eternity. Only a fool shuts God out of his or her life. And you know, there's many fools that live in this world, and there's many that live in this locality. And God speaks here about the departure of the soul. That very night, his soul was going to be required. That which was furthest away from his mind would overtake him that night. And then our possession is a soul. And one day it's going to leave this earthly tabernacle, for that's all it is, these bodies of ours, as we were thinking about last Lord's Day evening. It's just a tent, it's just a house that keeps the real man. The real man is the soul. And one day that soul will leave our bodies and it's going to go out into eternity. And the Lord is speaking about the departure of the soul being required. And God speaks also about the vanity of riches. Then, whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? He would not take it with him. All that prosperity, all that wealth, all the blessing, he wouldn't take it. He was going to leave it all behind. The rich man blessed with prosperity, he says, so take your ease. But God says, you're a fool. Tonight you will die. Tonight your soul will depart. Tonight you will enter eternity. You will give an account. You'll be lost. And the sad reality was this. He was going to die.
And he didn't know he was going to die. You ever think about that? He was going to die, but he didn't know. He rose that morning in the fullness of health and strength. I can see him as he walks to the door of his farmhouse. He opens wide the door and he breathes in the fresh morning air. And he looks across those acres of fruitful fields. And he breathes in and rejoices in all this blessing that has come his way. He thought about the great harvest. He thought about the abundant reaping. He thought about all his riches. He thought about his future of ease and pleasure. And in his heart, he whispered, "Soul, take thine ease." But God says, "You're a fool." That night he must die. What an awful tragedy. What an awful end. What an awful eternity. If I could summarize what we have said tonight and what we read here in the words of the Lord Jesus in the story that he related in his day, it would be this. God was good to this man. This man shut God out of his life. God shut this man out. And that's an awful thing. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you have been taking your ease. You have failed to consider your soul. You have neglected salvation. You have taken for granted all the blessings that you enjoy. You have lived for self and for pleasure. Do not continue to walk a path of sin and foolishness. Because you see, one day, your soul is going to be required. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for this story related by the Lord in his time to warn the people of his age concerning covetousness and the abuse of riches and the value of their soul. We pray that we might take it to heart and that we will realize that the eternal is more important than the temporal. That the heavenly is more important than the earthly. That the future, where we'll be, is more important than now, what we're doing in this life. Help us to realize that we have a soul that needs to be saved. A soul that needs to be cleansed from its sin. That needs to be right with God. And that can only be accomplished through what Jesus Christ has done for us at the cross. We pray that thou wilt burn the truth of thy word into our hearts. And in this meeting, lead sinners to the Savior. Give them the gift of repentance and faith. And O God, even as they think of the blessings that they enjoy, may the goodness of the Lord lead them to repentance for Jesus' sake. Amen.